Welcome to Power to the People. Hello and welcome to Power to the People, your radio program brought to you by Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus. I'm your host, Erica Smith. The month of May is dedicated to celebrating mothers. Mother's Day was created by Anna Marie Jarvis in 1908 and became an official holiday in 1914. The idea behind our show for May was not only to celebrate mothers, but also aunts, sisters, godmothers, and all of those women who have children under their care in some form or fashion as educators, mentors, caretakers, counselors, guides, you name it. Langston Hughes first captured this in his short story, Thank You, Ma'am, written in 1958.
Thank You, Ma'am, by Langston Hughes. Narrated by Ryan Carlo DeLusum. She was a large woman with a large purse that had everything in it but hammer and nails. It had a long strap, and she carried it slung across her shoulder. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and she was walking alone, when a boy ran up behind her and tried to snatch her purse. The strap broke with the single tug the boy gave it from behind. But the boy's weight and the weight of the purse combined caused him to lose his balance. So, instead of taking off full blast as he had hoped, the boy fell on his back on the sidewalk and his legs flew up. The large woman simply turned around and kicked him right square in his blue jean sitter. Then she reached down, picked the boy up by his shirt front, and shook him until his teeth rattled. After that, the woman said, Pick up my pocketbook, boy, and give it here. She still held him, but she bent down enough to permit him to stoop and pick up her purse. Then she said, Now ain't you ashamed of yourself? Firmly gripped by his shirt front, the boy said, Yes'm. The woman said, What did you want to do it for? The boy said, I didn't aim to. She said, You a lie. By that time, two or three people passed, stopped, turned to look, and some stood watching. If I turn you loose, will you run? Asked the woman. Yes'm, said the boy. Then I won't turn you loose, said the woman. She did not release him. I'm very sorry, lady, I'm sorry, whispered the boy. And your face is dirty. I got a great mind to wash your face for you. Ain't you got nobody home to tell you to wash your face? No'm, said the boy. Then it will get washed this evening, said the large woman, starting up the street, dragging the frightened boy behind her. He looked as if he were 14 or 15, frail and willow wild, in tennis shoes and blue jeans. The woman said, You ought to be my son. I would teach you right from wrong. Least I can do right now is to wash your face. Are you hungry? No'm, said the being dragged boy. I just want you to turn me loose. Was I bothering you when I turned that corner? Asked the woman. No'm. But you put yourself in contact with me, said the woman. If you think that that contact is not going to last a while, you got another thought coming. When I get through with you, sir, you are going to remember Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones. Sweat popped out on the boy's face, and he began to struggle. Mrs. Jones stopped, jerked him around in front of her, put a half Nelson about his neck, and continued to drag him up the street. When she got to her door, she dragged the boy inside, down a hall, and into a large kitchenette-furnished room at the rear of the house. She switched on the light and left the door open. The boy could hear other roomers laughing and talking in the large house. Some of their doors were open, too, so he knew he and the woman were not alone. The woman still had him by the neck in the middle of her room. She said, What is your name?
Roger,
answered the boy. Then, Roger, you go to that sink and wash your face, said the woman, whereupon she turned him loose, at last. Roger looked at the door, looked at the woman, looked at the door, and went to the sink. Let the water run until it gets warm, she said. Here's a clean towel. You gonna take me to jail? Asked the boy, bending over the sink. Not with that face. I would not take you nowhere, said the woman. Here I am trying to get home to cook me a bite to eat, and you snatch my pocketbook. Maybe you ain't been to your supper either, late as it be. Have you? There's nobody home at my house, said the boy. Then we'll eat, said the woman. I believe you're hungry, or been hungry, to try to snatch my pocketbook. I wanted a pair of blue suede shoes, said the boy. Well, you didn't have to snatch my pocketbook to get some suede shoes, said Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones. You could have asked me. Ma'am? The water dripping from his face, the boy looked at her. There was a long pause. A very long pause. After he had dried his face, and not knowing what else to do, dried it again. The boy turned around, wondering what next. The door was open. He could make a dash for it down the hall. He could run, 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 run. The woman was sitting on the daybed. After a while, she said, I was young once, and I wanted things I could not get. There was another long pause. The boy's mouth opened. Then he frowned, but not knowing, he frowned. The woman said, You thought I was going to say but, didn't you? You thought I was going to say, but I didn't snatch people's pocketbooks. Well, I wasn't going to say that. Pause. Silence. I have done things, too, which I would not tell you, son, neither tell God if he didn't already know. So you sit down while I fix us something to eat. You might run that comb through your hair so you will look presentable. In another corner of the room behind a screen was a gas plate and an icebox. Mrs. Jones got up and went behind the screen. The woman did not watch the boy to see if he was going to run now, nor did she watch her purse, which she left behind her on the daybed. But the boy took care to sit on the far side of the room where he thought she could easily see him out of the corner of her eye, if she wanted to. He did not trust the woman not to trust him, and he did not want to be mistrusted now. "Do you need somebody to go to the store?" asked the boy. "Maybe to get some milk or something?" "Don't believe I do," said the woman. "Unless you just want sweet milk yourself. I was going to make cocoa out of this canned milk I got here." "That will be fine," said the boy. She heated some lima beans and ham she had in the icebox, made the cocoa, and set the table. The woman did not ask the boy anything about where he lived, or his folks, or anything else that would embarrass him. Instead, as they ate, she told him about her job in a hotel beauty shop that stayed open late, what the work was like, and how all kinds of women came in and out, blondes, redheads, and Spanish. Then she cut him a half of her 10-cent cake. "Eat some more, son," she said. When they were finished eating, she got up and said, "Now here, take this $10 and buy yourself some blue suede shoes. And next time, do not make the mistake of latching onto my pocketbook nor nobody else's, because shoes come by devilish like that will burn your feet. I got to get my rest now, but I wish you would behave yourself, son, from here on in." She led him down the hall to the front door and opened it. "Good night. Behave yourself, boy," she said, looking out into the street. The boy wanted to say something else other than, "Thank you, ma'am," to Mrs. Luella Bates Washington Jones, but he couldn't do so as he turned at the barren stoop and looked back at the large woman in the door. He barely managed to say thank you before she shut the door, and he never saw her again.
Joseph Solomon's poem from 2017 captured the same essence, which was the catalyst for celebrating women from all walks of life who view other people's children as their own. Solomon's poem expresses that mystical bond. Let's take a listen.
This mystical bond between a black mother and everyone else's children she does not know, based on a true story. I was in the airport complaining about how horrible American Airlines is, and they are, when a black woman working the airport check-in line said to me, "Hey, baby, what's wrong? What's wrong?" I said, "American Airlines is the worst. That's what's wrong." And she said, "Now, you know you wouldn't be talking like that if your mother was around." "Excuse me? I'm a grown man," I thought quietly to myself. She said, "Now, if you just be cool, I can help you. You just need to be cool." This was no ordinary airline interaction. Many wouldn't even realize what's happening. This subtle conversation black people been having since the first time they acted up when their parents wasn't around. A black mother you never met will be your mother for a moment, and they all different, but got the same eyes, give you that look that say, "I may not know your mother, but I got a number." And you believe her, you believe her. And they everywhere, like MIB, Mothers in Black, never know when they pop up. To her, I was not a customer, not a disgruntled traveler. I was a son she had yet met. She ain't learned this, she earned this. This vicarious love is an old family recipe passed down and moved to South Chicago from Mississippi. This ain't no textbook de-escalating a situation. No, this that, "Boy, if you don't fix your face, I can." This that, "I'm smiling awkwardly like this because people watching and I don't want to embarrass myself while I embarrass you." This is, "We learned it take a country to raise a child." This that, "We stick together, we already been shattered apart." This is, "Boy, don't you know your mama said I can whip you for that? Boy, don't you know there's too many white people out here for that? Boy, don't you know they jail you for that? They shoot you for that? They lynch you for that? Whip us all for that? We ain't even been here all that long for that, boy. Something heavy been passed down to them. Call it a generational blessing or burden. Faithful family tree branches. And they be whispering to each other, waving them, keep them safe prayers to God at night for you. You get older and you realize mama can't be everywhere you be, but there is an army of hers in Walmarts, in hospitals, in concerts, in airports. And they say, I know your mama raised you better than that. I said, how you know? She said, oh, I know. We all know.
Of a kind. You've got yours feeling that you can't describe. It's the kind of love that stays with you until the day you die. She taught me little things like saying hello and thank you please, while scrubbing those floors on a bending knee. Oh, she's one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine. My mama, hey mama, my heart belongs to you. Oh, yeah.
I always love my mama.
Yeah.
She's my favorite girl.
Only get one, you only get one, yeah.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Power to the People, brought to you by Democrats Abroad's Global Black Caucus. If you'd like to find out more about Democrats Abroad or Democrats Abroad's Global Black Caucus, you can find us online at www.democratsabroad.org/BC. There you can find out more about voting from abroad and the Global Black Caucus. Follow us online as well. On Facebook and Twitter, find exclusive episodes of our podcast now on iTunes. While you're still with us, don't forget to register to vote at votefromabroad.org. Let your power be heard and let it be contagious through voting. And until next time, keep the power going.
You know, so oftentimes people ask me, Shirley, why is it that you sing about mother so much? But you know, my mama has been both mom and dad for me. And maybe many of you don't know it, but my mother is a semi-invalid. Today, I'd like to just say thanks, Mom. Thanks for sharing and caring about me. The many nights that you laid awake while I was out on the road singing. Many nights, many mornings, rather, you wouldn't even go to sleep until you hear me put my key in the door. I want to say thanks for the many mornings that you'd get up and you would fix us a lunch when so many kids didn't have anything to eat. And I remember in my little selfish way, I would complain because I had to take biscuit with a piece of meat between the bread to school, and the children would laugh at me. And I'd come home crying, said, Mom, I don't want to take that to school anymore. And Mama would have said thanks, because I remember so vividly that morning you called me to the kitchen and you told me to look down in the bag. I said, Mama, there's nothing down in the bag but meat and bread. And Mom, I remember you took the meat and the bread out and you put it on the table. And I said, Mama, there's nothing down in the bag. And you said, yes, it is. That's what you told me. She said, now you take this meat and bread and you go to school. And whenever the children laugh at you, you tell them that every morning when I get up, the first thing I do is I put my love in that bag. Thanks, Mom. When Daddy died, I remember the relatives came and they wanted to take us all from you. And I remember you saying with tears in your eyes, I know that nobody's going to give me a job. And I know the check that I get each month is not going to be enough to take care of my children. But some kind of way, God's going to make a way. And I remember you used to sing the song all the time, courage my soul, let me journey on. Though the night seems dark, it won't be very long. Thanks be to God, the morning light is here. The storm is passing over, hallelujah. And Mama, we can say today that that storm passed over. Mama, I said thank you for denying yourself. There were times when you wanted a dress, you bought us that dress. There were times when you needed shoes, you bought us those shoes. There were times when you wanted to go out, you stayed home. Thank you, Mama. Thank you for teaching me how to love, teaching me about Jesus, making me go to Sunday school when I didn't want to go. For Mama, today when I look back over my life, I can say that you've been a good mom. And Mama, I want to thank you for all of those whippings I got. The times I throw rocks and break out windows and break out streetlights. And the time I go to the grocery stores and steal twin popsicles and ginger snaps. And I look you square in the eye and I'd lie, some of them I didn't do it. But you being a good mom, you knew I was lying. I want to thank you for all of those whippings I got. And then Mama, I want to thank you for teaching me honesty. teaching me sharing, teaching me caring. Mama, when I saw all the other kids in the neighborhood, how you would take them in when they were hungry. Oh, you've been a good mama. I'd like to just sum up this little tribute to you in four beautiful words. And I know I can't say thank you enough, but thank you with these four words. I love you, mama.